Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om. So 8, chapter number 12. The chapter is entitled Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva. This is text 42, 43, and 44. 42 is on the board. Atma sambhutatam hayaham. Atma sambhutatam hayaham. Atma sambhutatam hayaham. No, try again. Atma sambhutatam hayaham. Bhavanim Bhagavan Bhavaha Samatam Rishimukhyanam Prityachaksta Ta Bharata. Translation. So Lord Shiva is speaking. No. This is Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. O descendant of Bhart Maharaj, Lord Shiva, in jubilation, then addressed his wife Bhavani, who is accepted by all authorities as the potency of Lord Vishnu. Text 43. Ayapayasya tvamajastumayam parasya pumsam paradevatayaha aham kalanam rishabhyo pyumukye. Yaya vasonye kim utsavatantara. Translation. Lord Shiva said, O goddess, you have now seen the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the unborn master of everyone. Although I am one of the principal expansions of his lordship, even I was illusioned by his energy. What then is to be said of others who are fully dependent on Maya? Yamam aprichchas tvamupitya yogat sama sahasranta uparatam vai sa esha shakshat purusha puranam yayatra kalo visite navedaha. Translation purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When I finished performing mystic yoga for 1,000 years, you asked me upon whom I was meditating. Now, here is that Supreme Person to whom time has no entrance and who the Vedas cannot understand. Very small purport. Eternal time enters anywhere and everywhere, but it cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nor can the Vedas understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an indication of the Lord's being omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Lord Shiva has just been offering beautiful prayers and glorification of the Lord, explaining his relationship with the Lord and how powerful the Lord is in terms of his material and his potencies. Lord Shiva was bewildered by the manifestation of incarnation of the Lord known as Mohini Murti, in the form of the most beautiful young lady. Krishna is, let me say, his whatever aspect of energy he enters into, whether he becomes a boar, or he becomes a turtle, or he becomes a fish, becomes a half man, half lion, whatever incarnation he assumes by his unlimited potencies, that potency, that form, is completely transcendental and completely, when we say, imbued with all his energies. Lord Shiva wanted to see that form that was bewildered by the demigod. The demigods were bewildered by, the demons were bewildered by. So the Lord showed him. And of course, the story has been explained. But what is very significant here is Lord Shiva is very powerful. He has a great following of his own. You know, this Rudra Sampradaya. So the teachings of Lord Shiva are coming down in disciplic succession. And he's one of the Mahajan, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta. He's a very powerful being. He teaches religious principles. And practically, he's almost on the level of Lord Vishnu himself. It's explained that the difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu is the difference between milk and yogurt. When milk is in a different state, it becomes yogurt. So they're practically the same, except Lord Shiva's subordinate. Lord Shiva has many followers. From different categories, great souls, but even ordinary living beings. He is glorified, he's eulogized, he is considered one of the greatest of the great. Unlimited qualities, unlimited mercy, unlimited followers. Sometimes we might even say and think that maybe Lord Shiva has more followers in terms of those who are actually dedicated than any manifestation. So many people follow Lord Shiva. Here, he's bewildered, or apparently bewildered, he's bewildered by the Supreme Personality's, Godhead's illusionary energy in the form of a very beautiful woman. And now he's explaining his experience with his wife, Parvati, Bhavani, it's mentioned here. And he explains to her that the Lord is so great that his illusionary energy cannot be understood by anyone. And everyone is illusioned by that same energy. And even me. He's not saying, I was a little inattentive, so I got bewildered. Or, actually, I was just kind of like going along with the Lord just to make this was a nice leela we were enacting. He wasn't making any excuses about his bewilderment. He was actually proud to be bewildered by the Lord. This was his humility and his way of glorifying the Lord. He was so proud. And even me, one of the greatest of the great, are so powerful. So many people follow me. I was bewildered. He was happy. He wasn't thinking, trying to make some excuses. He was happy. This is amazing quality. Usually when somehow or other when a living being makes a mistake or does something, there's usually some cover-up or some excuse or whatever. There's some apparent reason. But all the Lord Shiva can do is glorify the Lord and thank the Lord for being able to be bewildered by his illusion, his Mahamaya potency. And now he's explaining to his wife, Bhavani, that personality that whom I'm meditating on, this is who he is. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who time has no effect upon, who's the controller of time, whose energy is time, and who the Vedas, although the Vedas are so vast and full of glorifications, still their glorifications fall short of the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He just wants to glorify the Lord. He wants to just express his happiness by being bewildered by the Lord. Amazing. When you think about it, such a powerful living being. You would think there would be some pride there, but he had no pride at all. No, not a slightest bit of false pride. He was so happy. He was glorifying the Lord over and over. And here it's mentioned that this illusionary energy, when Prabhupada talks about this pastime and a similar pastime, how Lord Brahma also apparently became bewildered. Of course, Brahma's bewilderment was different. Brahma got apparently attracted by his young daughter. But Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they're okay. But what they're teaching also is that just what is the power of the Lord's illusory energy? That despite one's even advancement in devotional service, qualifications, intelligence, abilities, and past successes, Krishna can bewilder anyone at any time, at any second. And he's doing that through what is called his external energy, Mahamaya. Mahamaya, Yogamaya are actually the same energy. There's no difference, except the difference is that Prabhupada uses the explanation that the, just like a receptacle, if you plug a refrigerator into an electrical receptacle, you get cooling, because that is the feature of a refrigerator. And if you put a heater into that same receptacle, you get heat. But the energy is the same. And similarly, the way how one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is receiving the mercy in one way or the other, either through Mahamaya or through Yogamaya. The devotional service means Mahamaya. And those who are, what we say, attached to activities that are contrary to devotional service, they are bewildered by another energy. Everyone's bewildered. Prabhupada wanted to make this point very clear in many of his talks. When one devotee had said he had done something, some mistake, and he was apologizing, he offered his obeisances to Prabhupada, he got up and Prabhupada said, I'm in Maya. Prabhupada said, you're always in Maya. But Prabhupada was making that point to show that one should never think they're free from the effects of the illusionary energy. And this is what this pastime is also about, teaching how powerful the external energy of the Lord is. That anyone at any time can be overcome by the material energy. Prabhupada said, even on the path of devotional service, he says there's accidents, there's even accidents on the royal road. So in executing one's devotional service, it's like, as Prabhupada used the example, it's like shaving with a razor. If one is a sharp razor, not just a razor, if one is a little inattentive, then there could be a disaster. So in the same way, in our execution of devotional service, one has to be very, as Prabhupada said, cautious and conscious. Cautious means that any time I can be trapped by the illusionary energy, and conscious always to take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada was praying one time to the deities. I believe it was in Boston. I think that was the thing. And the devotees were asking Prabhupada why he was praying. Prabhupada said, I'm always praying not to fall victim of Maya. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is a Paramahansa, Vaishnava. But he's also teaching that how powerful the illusory energy is. What is illusory energy? Let's explore that a little bit. Some philosophers teach that it's what you see is not, it's not real. It doesn't exist. It's all an illusion. Your consciousness is creating this illusion. Actually, it's not there. The material energy is just an illusion. It's like a mirage. But the Vedas don't accept that. Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita explains that the illusionary energy is real, but what is the, what we say, illusion about that energy is that it doesn't provide what one perceives. The living entity looks for happiness through contact of the illusionary energy and gets something different. That's the illusion. It's like smoke. You can see smoke, if you see smoke, but if you were to try to grab it with your hand, and then you open your hand, where's the smoke? So that's material energy is like that. We can see it, and it looks good, and everyone is saying it's like this. But when one tries to enjoy it, one gets something different. One gets kicked. Kicked. So this illusory energy is very powerful. Srila Prabhupada used to say, the problem with you Western devotees, of course, practically everyone was a Western, every devotee was Western at the time. He said, the problem with you Western devotees was you're not afraid of Maya. You do not fear Maya enough. That was Prabhupada's next thing. One has to be very cautious because a little mistake, even a wrong statement, could commit an offense. An offense can lead to losing the mercy, and losing the mercy can lead to again being attracted to the material energy. That's how dangerous it is. If we offend a Vaishnava or we offend a Vaishnava, a devotee, Krishna may become, we lose his mercy. And then when we lose his mercy, and then the taste is also gone. And then the devotees looks for taste somewhere else. And again, Maya looks good. So one has to be very careful in executing one's devotional service. Conscious and cautious. Therefore, strong sadhana is really the basis of what we say, keeping oneself connected to the mercy of the Lord. To have everyday strong sadhana. As strong as we can get it. Of course, we have a lot of services to do. But hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, fixes the mind and fixes oneself nicely under the lotus feet of the Lord. One should be very, very enthusiastic to try to chant the rounds and to hear nicely. To try to finish our rounds because we have other obligations, responsibilities, and service. That mood cannot capture the mercy of the holy name. One should chant with the idea of trying to hear nicely and calling out for Krishna's mercy. That is actually chanting. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, it's explained that when people would come to him for various questions regarding various difficulties in the process of devotional service, he would just say, everything is situated on the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Just take shelter of Krishna's holy name. And he would quote one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that all success comes by way of Krishna's holy name. So Here is where we get protection from Maya. Chanting and chanting without offense. Because if we're chanting with offense, then we're not getting that full mercy. We're not getting hardly any mercy, really. There's one verse that explains that if one is chanting with offenses, one can chant for many millions of lifetimes and still not get the goal of the chanting, which is pure love of God. So one should carefully avoid the offenses. Carefully. And there are offenses to the deity, offenses to the holy name, offenses to Vaishnavas, and offenses to people in general also. Offenses was really makes our Krishna consciousness very difficult. We can put so much effort, time, energy, and enthusiasm into our process of devotional service. But if we're not careful to avoid the offenses and those things that are contrary to the process of devotional service, then the process is practically very slower, nil. Prabhupada says, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they're always talking about the negative. Avoid this, avoid that, they have no positive. Vaishnavas, we are both positive and negative. We speak about the... He said, but Prabhupada said, if you emphasize the positive, the negative goes. So we're focusing on the positive, and gradually the negative automatically is included. Prabhupada, just like electrical light, has cathodes, positive and negative. So that in order to get the light, you have to have positive and negative. So if you want to be illuminated, avoid the negative and go for the positive. Illumination comes by avoiding the negative and going for the positive. Not just avoiding the negative and just emphasizing the positive is the process, but still there are what is called pratikul, or those things we should very carefully avoid. Maya is strong. If we always remember how strong Maya is, or how that Maya is much stronger than what we think Maya is, as soon as you think that I'm okay, that's an indication you're not. You know, sometimes we get a lot of mercy. Nice association, nice kirtans, and prasadam is there, so many nice programs are going on. Everything is going on, we're feeling the happiness. And then we get a little carefree. And what happens? Maya says, oh, why don't you try this? This is also Krishna. So we have to be very, I always say, careful. Because as soon as you make a little advancement in Krishna consciousness, Maya is going to say, oh, he or she is trying to get away. I think I should try to test him a little bit more. The more you make progress, the more Maya is going to try to test you. Of course, as you make progress, you become stronger in your Krishna consciousness. So the tests get more difficult in proportion to one's advancement. What is being tested by one who is considered to be fixed in Krishna consciousness is not one the same as one who is just beginning in Krishna consciousness. The tests are different. But they're just enough. Prabhupada says, Maya will not test you, or Krishna will not let Maya test you beyond your ability to pass. It's not like you're going to be overwhelmed. You know, Maya could overwhelm you. Just look what happened to Markandeya Rish. Powerful sage. He was performing austerities and penances for many years. Difficult. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord said, do you want some benediction? Ask for him. He said, yeah, let me see your illusory energy. The Lord said, you sure? You sure you want this benediction? He wanted to see the illusory energy of the Lord. The Lord put him in the ocean of devastation. And he was floating in that ocean of devastation for thousands of years, just bobbing up and down in that ocean. And then he realized this was not a good request. He became what we say, surrounded by the power of the... Finally, Krishna appeared on a little banyan leaf as a little baby sucking his toe. After so many thousands of years of being undergoing the effects of the illusionary energy. So, Shristi Stisti Palaya Sadeega Chayeva Vivati Durga. Maya is powerful. She can create, she can destroy. She's Krishna's internal energy. Very, very powerful. So, our only hope is to take shelter of the Lord in the form of His holy name. One should chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. This is Prabhupada's instructions. When we see our mind engaged in not thinking of the Lord or just talking nonsense or doing, we should immediately think, I should be chanting Hare Krishna. And that's the only way one can be protected by Maya, if one remembers Krishna constantly. There's no other way. As soon as there is a little inattention, just like it says in the Vishnu Puran, what is the greatest mistake, what is the greatest calamity, what is the greatest misfortune? To forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment. People are saying the greatest misfortune is the economic crisis, right? The greatest misfortune is when, now people are talking about the so-called upcoming devastations that are supposed to hit America. 2012, right? They have big, gigantic signs on the highways in California. 2012, we have been warned. People, there's been a movie about it, there's a book written about it, and people are already trying to leave California. They say that the coastal areas of California and all other areas will be devastated with tidal waves, and there'll be earthquakes, cataclysms, and this is predicted in many, what we say, scriptures coming from other traditions. So, but the Shastras don't say that. It says the greatest calamity is to forget Krishna. Just like in 1975, Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Sridham Mayapur. This morning walk was the most amazing morning walk because practically every sannyasi in Mayapur who had come for the festival was on this walk. So many of Prabhupada's, what we say, personal, close devotees, associates, sannyasis who were always with Prabhupada were on that walk. And Prabhupada started to talk about the upcoming war, World War III. And the devotees were asking so many questions. What should we do when the war comes? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. And then someone said, that's all? Prabhupada said, that's all. That's our only business, to chant Hare Krishna. And then one sannyasi, he said, Prabhupada, if there's a war, there'll be all this nuclear radiation and nothing can live here. Prabhupada said, no one can live here anyway. And someone said, you know, everyone will die. Prabhupada said, what's the difference? You die now or you die 20 years later? This is Prabhupada's answers. He said, people are worried about death. They're worried about calamities and crises. Prabhupada said, the biggest crisis, supported by the scriptures, is that we forget Krishna. The greatest crisis is to forget Krishna or to think, when we say outside of the principles of devotional life, to think there's some happiness in this material world. So, Maya is very strong. I think that statement doesn't really fit Maya. To say Maya is very strong is that all of Krishna's energies are insurmountable, including the Maya energy. But Maya can only stay behind Krishna. She can't get in front. It's a thankless task. She cannot stay in front of Krishna. She has to stay behind. So if you're behind Krishna, you're with Maya. But if you keep Krishna in the front, Prabhupada said, keep Krishna in front, and then Maya is behind Krishna. But if Krishna is not in the front, then that means Maya is in the front. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is a hoaxaja. He's beyond the reach of the senses. Maya is very strong. And still we have attachments for Maya. We still think, at least sometimes we do, that there's still some happiness in the material energy. And that thought, somehow or other, makes us a little less... One should be in an emergency consciousness. Emergency consciousness means at every moment, Prahlad Maharaj was explaining that to his schoolmates, you can die at any time. They said, Prahlad, we're just so young, we want to play. We're just 5 years old. We'll become Krishna conscious later. He said, you don't know when you're going to die. Nobody knows. This is the nature of the material energy. There's one statement. There's two things you should always forget, and there's two things you should always remember. The two things you should always forget is you should forget all the bad things that others have done to you. Sometimes people offend us or say something, or we just have a difficult time with certain people. And we develop wrong attitudes or not proper attitudes. It says, forget all doubt. Devotee is what we say, tolerant and humble. Even if there is some offense, forget it. Devotee is very forgiving. Devotee doesn't... Even if people... You know, sometimes, like I was just in Mayapur, and the temple was so crowded. I mean, it was like thousands and thousands of devotees in the temple. So if you have to walk around, you need constant consciousness of every step you're taking, because you can just crash into somebody or somebody crashes into you. Happens all the time. I was paying my obeisances and then somebody stepped on me. It happens. And you get up, and when you're down paying your obeisances, sometimes you're saying, you want to get up as fast as you can because you don't know what's going to happen, you know. It's like dangerous. It's like people are everywhere. And, you know, like Nisringa Arti, my mother, Rajalita, hardly anybody can get into Nisringa Arti. It's like this big, tight pack. And you can't even raise your arms to glorify Nisringadev because you're like... It's like... So if you don't like crowds, it's a real tough place to be. And you're trying to worship. So it's difficult. So sometimes somebody crashes into you. Not sometimes. It happens all the time. So, but you think, what can you do? You try to forgive the person. But that's... So sometimes, many times, things go wrong with others. So we should forgive. Forget and just somehow go on in our Krishna consciousness. So forget all the bad things that others have done to you, and forget all the good things that you have done for others. People in the material world, many of them, they want to be known as a good do-gooder. I gave this donation. Please put my plaque on the wall to let everyone know how nice I am. Right? In some places, people won't give donations unless there's some, what we say, recognition of the donation. They're inspired by their recognition. So to forget all the good things we've done for others. Two things we should always forget, and two things we should always remember. Always remember the holy name, and always remember that death can happen at any time. These two things. And it's not going to interfere with your activities in life if you remember Krishna all the time. It's not like we become inattentive to everything. Actually, we become more attentive by practicing remembering. There should be an alarm going off that when I forget Krishna, this alarm says, I'm not thinking of Krishna. Oh, I should think of Krishna. I should chant his name. If we practice like that, and then as we purify our hearts through the process of the devotional service, then that consciousness becomes more and more, what we say, natural. Prabhupada said, it's unnatural to forget Krishna. It's natural always to remember Krishna. But being in an unnatural condition, we become unnatural. So we have to practice remembering Krishna always. And that's the only protection from the mayic energy. One cannot protect himself. Prabhupada was talking, one man, he was thinking, I've committed these sinful activities. Now Yamaraj, he's going to come and get me. He's going to punish me. So Yamaraj is a great gentleman. So I'll just take a stool and I'll smear it all over my body. And therefore Yamaraj will not come and touch me because he's a gentleman. Prabhupada said it didn't work. So in other words, there's no protection unless one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Yes. Prabhupada said, if you always remember the lotus feet of the Lord, you will never be impeded in your execution of devotional service. He writes that in one statement. He mentions it in one letter, and he also writes it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, even Lord Shiva, we are talking about Lord Shiva, he meditates constantly on the lotus feet of the Lord. Because on the lotus feet of the Lord, there is what is called the thunderbolt. The Lord has many insignias on his lotus feet, and one is the thunderbolt. And the thunderbolt, when it crashes against the mountain, it can destroy the mountain. It's so powerful. It's the most powerful weapon within existence. The thunderbolt by Lord Indra crashes against mountains, can destroy mountains. But this thunderbolt, we meditate on it because it crashes against the mind of the devotee and destroys all the sinful contaminated thoughts in the mind. Destroys all the contaminations within the heart and within the mind. So Lord Shiva, he meditates on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. Even he wants to become purified by the Lord's lotus feet. So the process of Krishna consciousness is a process of constantly keeping one's connection with Krishna. When we're in kirtan, we should always remember that we should hear the chanting very nicely, and we should sing very enthusiastically. When we're chanting japa, we should always try to be very attentive. When we're reading the books, we should try to read so carefully that we try to understand what is being said with intelligence and with, what we say, reflection, comparing it to what we understand. So there's so many ways that we can keep our consciousness fixed on remembering Krishna in one form or another. Of course, the easiest way is to chant his holy name, to think of his lotus feet. Taking darshan every day for the deity means to keep that image within the mind. That is the benefit. Many of you work, you have your obligations with family, you have to go to work, you have to associate with the external energy. Take darshan of the deity in the morning. Make a snapshot in your mind. Keep that snapshot where you go. It may not always be there, but then again, it will come back if you really absorb yourself in seeing that, taking darshan in the Lord's lotus feet. That's why we take darshan. Of course, darshan means to let the Lord see us. That's the real darshan. What can we see? We can see something. But when Krishna sees you and he's pleased by seeing you, then you can see Krishna more and more like that. If Krishna's not pleased by what he sees, you won't be able to see anything. So taking darshan means to present ourselves in such a way that Krishna is pleased. That means with humility. This, like Prabhupada says, when you take darshan of the deity, what do you do? Three things, he explains. The curtains open, you take darshan of the Lord's feet, you move your eyes to the top of his sweet smiling face, you bring it down to the feet again, you pay your obeisances. You get up, and then you offer three prayers to the Lord. One, my dear Lord, I'm so fallen. You just explain your fallen condition. And you say, my Lord, you are so great. You're so wonderful. You may even glorify his opulences, his pastimes, his qualities. Offer some nice prayers to the Lord. And then the last thing you say, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Give me some service. I'm already engaged in your service, yes, but really engage me in your service in such a way that you'll be pleased by my execution of your devotional service. So Prabhupada explains, this is darshan. This is actually darshan. So if we very carefully absorb ourselves in the process of devotional service, then there's no chance. Even if there is, if Maya gets in, it's easy to remove Maya, or it becomes routine. We should also notice Maya when Maya is coming. There's certain Mayas we can notice, but there's certain Mayas we don't notice. The Mayas we don't notice is the Mayas we are attracted by. If we still have attraction for Maya, we don't see it as Maya. Or it takes a little while before we actually see, oh, this is Maya. Yeah, this is Maya, but actually Maya is quite nice. Sometimes we think like that. I know it's Maya, but still it's quite nice. Of course, you can use that same principle because everything in connection with Krishna is his energy, and Krishna's energy is also very nice. Even the Maya energy. But we should not be bewildered by the Maya energy. We might see Maya for what she is, trying to attract us. Or when we see the conditioned souls, you know, headlong into Maya, just like fireflies running into a fire. They're enthusiastic. They're being devoured by Maya every minute. But they love Maya. They worship Maya. They like to get... They're being kicked by Maya is like when you get kicked enough, you actually become unconscious. And you can't feel the kicks anymore because you're unconscious. So that's the illusion, that's the materialist. But when a devotee gets kicked by Maya, they feel it. And then they run back to Krishna. Right? We run fast back to Krishna. The kick is nice. It's meant to wake us up. I don't belong here. Right? So Lord Shiva, he's glorifying the Lord. He's proud somehow or other that he was able to be bewildered by the Lord's, what we say, Mahamaya. Yogamaya energy, not Mahamaya. I think my class is somewhat under the influence of Mahamaya this morning. It's not a leela. I'm not trying to demonstrate what Mahamaya is like. It's just this. I'm definitely in Mahamaya this morning. Anyway. That's why I assume when they asked me to give class, I said no. And then I thought, maybe I should give class. And then I realized, you're in Maya. So anyway, so this is not a leela. This is actually my expression of Maya in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam class. Anyway. So, Material energy is so powerful. Just like I was thinking, I could give class. But then I was thinking, you're thinking you can give class, but you can't give class. So therefore, you're an illusion. Anyway, sometimes we fall into the idea. We can't give class. We can only pray that something comes out and the devotees are benefited and the Lord is somehow glorified. And then that is a class. But if we think I can do it, that's the nature of the conditioned soul's false ego. I can do it. Prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasyaha ahankara vimudat madkartaha miti mandina. Under the influence of the material energy, the material and the conditioned things, the soul thinks, I'm doing it, or I'm the doer. But the scriptures explain that one can only desire, and the activities are carried out either by the external energy or by the internal energy, depend on how, what is the nature of one's consciousness and activities. But one cannot do anything. One's dependent in all situations. So Shiva, he's so happy. He's just glorifying. He's just praising the Lord, for thanking the Lord for being able to perform this, service to the Lord, teaching how powerful the Lord's energies are and how great I am, and still I became bewildered by your energy. And although he was in an embarrassing situation, Shiva was embarrassed. It's explained that when Mohini Murti went walking by Shiva, Shiva was with his disciples. And all of a sudden, this beautiful, the most beautiful of all beautiful ladies was walking by, running by, going by quite fast. And Lord Shiva just completely left his disciples and just went right after. And the disciples were thinking, where's Shiva going? So in that sense, he was somewhat in an embarrassing situation. But still, he never considered to be somewhat, he didn't take it as being, something inauspicious. He glorified the Lord. Of course, we shouldn't think like that. I've been bewildered by the Lord's energy. The Lord's energy is so wonderful. That could be a problem. Okay, so any questions, comments? The illusionary energy of the Lord? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That means we didn't take shelter enough. That means there's the ability to pass is within you, but you may not recognize it. It looks like we can become overwhelmed. It may seem like it's beyond, but it's not. I mean, Krishna can put us in a situation where, there's no chance. You're finished. He can do that. He did it with Shiva. He can do that. It's not like, well, I'm so advanced, I just know how to stay free from Maya. No, Krishna will. He can do it if he wants, but he doesn't do that. His tests, or his allowing Maya to test us, is just to purify us, not to destroy us. He's not trying to destroy you. Of course, if you have false pride, if you have a lot of false pride, Krishna will make you fall down just to teach you that, it was your false pride that caused you to fall down. And those who have false pride also think that they're okay. So fall down is automatic with that consciousness. One thinks I'm okay, that's a symptom of false pride, and then it's just a matter of time. But Krishna wants to purify us, not destroy us in our Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said his tests are like a little slap, or a little, just to wake us up, so we can take more shelter to get relief from some anartha, some bad quality, or to teach us something. So therefore, devotee prays, Tate nukampa shushamikshamanam bhujane vat krita vipakam vidhavavir vedadanam este chivetiyo mukti padesha dayabak. This verse is so important. It's one of the most important verses that we can possibly learn and apply. That there's two principles of tolerance. Tolerance that comes by way of the association of the material energy. One has to tolerate heat. One has to tolerate cold. One has to tolerate disturbances caused by other living entities. One has to tolerate the disturbances by the mind and the senses. These we have to tolerate. Marta sparsis tu kuntaya, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the nature of the material energy is that it's dual. Sometimes it's this way and sometimes it's that way. We have to learn to tolerate. But there's another kind of tolerance. That tolerance that comes by way of Krishna's arrangement, where he puts one in a difficult situation or he gives you some suffering. Why? It's his mercy. And then that verse, Tate Nukampa, one prays, my dear Lord, thank you very much for this situation, because what it did, it gives you a chance to take shelter. And then by taking shelter, we actually pray to the Lord and say, actually, my dear Lord, you're giving me this difficulty, this punishment is actually much less than I actually deserve. I actually deserve more, but because you're so kind and so merciful, you only gave me a small portion of what I actually deserve. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasizes this verse a lot. He said this verse helps us to continue in our path of Krishna. If we don't learn this verse, if we don't learn how to apply it, we will not make it in devotional service. It's one of the most important principles, that Krishna will give you difficulties just for whatever reason he does. We can't understand the reason sometimes, but that's just the way it is. Sometimes, we see, a devotee is surrendering 100% their lives, but yet still they're having difficulties, maybe with their health, or maybe with, some persons are criticizing them. They might be great devotees, and still they're being harassed and criticized by others. Prabhupada was attacked by one person. Prabhupada was put into so many difficult situations. But Prabhupada said, I never considered it easy or hard. I considered it as my service. Therefore, I was fixed on executing the instructions of my spiritual master. So a devotee has to learn this verse. It's a really, really essential principle. This verse is essential. Otherwise, it's very difficult to achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness. Tate nukampa shushamikshamanam bhujan eva krita vipakam vidhavarabir vidadanamaste jiveti amukti padesha dayabak. And one prays like this, my dear Lord, I deserve much worse. The kingdom of God becomes one's rightful inheritance. This is the purport given in by this verse. 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8. Please read this verse. It's so important. The devotees have given a very, very long, long, lengthy purport describing some of the dynamics of understanding this verse. It's so essential. Otherwise, when we put into difficult situations, we may start losing some faith. If our faith is not strong, then it's hard to remain fixed on the path of devotional service. One has to have faith, strong faith. Dridha vritaha, that faith that is unbreakable. Even if you're being killed, Prabhupada said, thank Krishna. I deserved it. Of course, Krishna doesn't necessarily do that. He always protects his devotee so the devotee can engage in devotional service. And Prabhupada is always praying for protection for his devotees. So Krishna is answering the prayers of Prabhupada. Prabhupada always prayed for his devotees to have protection so they could have good health, long life, and a lot of energy to serve Krishna, to spread Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted the devotees to be healthy, happy, enthusiastic, and do wonderful things and spread Krishna consciousness. This is a great task. The world is in a difficult situation. And as Prabhupada said, this is the only movement in the world that can make a difference, really. Everyone doesn't have a solution. Everyone is compromising with Maya or giving some mixed solutions. Pure devotional service is the only way to overcome, how we say, the difficulties and the challenges that come by way of the association of Maya, material energy. Does that answer your question? Yeah, thank you. There was another hand? Yes. Do we have a microphone somewhere? Yes. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Because I'm bewildered so much more often than Shiva, and like you mentioned, at the end of the class, we can't respond in such a way that, oh, Krishna's external energy, very wonderful, I'm proud to have such a master. What should be my correct response when I'm
bewildered? When you get bewildered?
Yeah. How can I get back on the...
Krishna, help. If we're practicing, if we do get bewildered, if we do somehow slip, we should get up and engage in devotional service, learn from that situation, but also part of learning from the situation is to be sorry that it happened. If you fall down. Or you make a mistake, or you become bewildered, you should learn from it. Not just get back up. We should do that. That's important. That's the most important. But we should try to learn from the experience in order to avoid that situation again. Sometimes devotees get themselves in a situation where they become weak. And if you're in a situation where you become weak, and you're seeing yourself become weaker, get out of that situation. Don't think I'm so strong that I can save myself. Don't put yourself in a situation where you become vulnerable. We should be careful. You know, there are certain situations that where in our previous conditioning, we become weakened because of that association again. So try to avoid that very carefully. That's one thing. We don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we can fall down or become subject to become weakened like that. So devotee is always very careful in execution. Don't try to be a hero. And there's too many dead heroes. Try to save yourself. And as you save yourself, you can help others more and more like that. So what does that mean? That means that when we do slip, we should pick ourselves up, learn from the situation, and learn what we need to avoid that from happening again. Because it will happen again. We will be faced with that situation again. Krishna lets Maya test you in such a way as that when you pass the test, then you get another test. But if you fail that test, then you get that test again. And then, even if you've passed that test, after some time, you may again get that test just to see if you're still free from that. Sometimes devotees think, wow, what is this? I used to never be affected by this, but now I'm affected by it. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So one should be very... Prabhupada said, conscious and cautious. Remember Krishna, that's all. Practice remembering Krishna. It's not easy to remember Krishna. Prabhupada said, unless you have love for Krishna, or unless you have attachment to Krishna, it's hard to remember Krishna. But still, for the soul, it's natural. For the conditioned mind, it's unnatural. So therefore, we have to practice. The practice starts with getting up and chanting our rounds nicely, remaining enthusiastic, and coming to the morning program. The morning program is actually the foundation of the strength we need to carry through the day in our day-to-day activities and devotional service. So your question was, when if we get bewildered and we slip, we should pray to Krishna to protect us and to help us to learn from that situation. And take association of senior devotees, because in that association we get the protection we need. We get the intelligence we need, we get the enthusiasm we need. Association is fundamental in giving us the inspiration that is necessary in order to continue in our devotional service. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry about this class.